Monsieur Sanasi, President Joel, Moray Bravosai, I'd like to discuss a topic that has a lot of relevance to Yamim Noroyim, the aspect of tefillah that we're not usually confronting when we think about tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik often noted that there's a paradox inherent in tefillah, in the very premise of prayer. On the one hand, there's a sense of pride. On the other hand, there's a sense of shame. In order to approach Hashem and to speak to Him, one has to feel a sense of confidence. That is why Shmoneh Esrei is done in a posture of standing, as opposed to, for example, the Tachnun prayer, where one expresses a sense of shame by putting their hand on their arm. Because, as the Rebbe explained, in order to approach Hashem, one has to recognize there's an audience with the King, and one should be proud and recognize the incredible privilege that comes with the opportunity to pray. On the other hand, the Rav also explained that even as one does so, there has to be a sense of awe, of reverence, and he explained this in many ways. First, one has to approach Hashem with a sense of confidence, but then one begins to feel his worthlessness and one recoils. There's a need for a matir. You can't just do it in your own way. That's why we emphasize in our tefillos of B'Shirei David Avdecha, we don't just come with our own praises. We emphasize that we are reciting the prayers and the praises that were already uttered by David HaMelech. There's a dichotomy at the end of Ne'ilah. There are two paragraphs. One emphasizing the sense of worthlessness of man when we say, Atanosen Yad LaPoshim, who are we? We have no sense of pretension. We really are nothing. And yet, we have a paragraph that follows of Ata Hivdalta Enosh Meirosh. We emphasize the greatness of man and the privilege that comes with that. The Rav also developed this dichotomy in terms of emphasizing how Slichos is a prayer which is meant to highlight the worthlessness of man, how we say, we emphasize that we don't have any sense of our own rights. We come to a Kadosh Baruch Hu ke'ani ba'pesach, like a pauper. And yet, as we noted, tefillah itself presupposes a sense of privilege and confidence. And yet, even with this, we would expect certain limits. When one comes to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, one asks, one recognizes that you're not deserving of that. But we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu that we want to merit to receive His blessing. We certainly don't come to Hashem with a demand, with an expectation. Here and there we find, though, in the Gemara, examples of individuals who have a sense of carte blanche. We can ask what we want, we can demand what we want, and yet this is not certainly the norm. In this coming parsha, Parshas Ki Savo, there's a striking example, I think, of something which shatters the stereotype of normal tefillah, defies the conventional norms of prayer. There is a mitzvah in the Torah called Didui Maser. Two times in the seven-year cycle, the sabbatical cycle, in the fourth and the seventh year, during the time of Pesach, there is a mitzvah for a Jewish farmer to make a declaration in which he declares honestly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he has complied with all the mitzvos that are relevant to the various tithes, giving truma, giving maaser. He has given them to the appropriate recipients. He's treated them with appropriate kedusha, according to the laws that the Torah spelled out. It's interesting how we call this vidui maaser. We think of vidui, and we imagine ourselves confessing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done this wrong and that wrong, ashamnu, bagadnu, and so on. And here is a vidui which says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done it all right, we haven't deviated, we've done everything according to the law. But even beyond this, the very last sentence of Vidui Maaser, and you have this in your packets, the first source, Hashkifa mima'on katshecha min hashamayim, the farmer has gone through everything he's done right, v'olavarti mimitfosecha v'lo shachachti. And on that note, he concludes with this verse, Hashkifa mima'on katshecha min hashamayim, Hashem, look down from your heavenly abode, from your holy abode in heaven, uvareches amcha es Yisrael ve'isa adama shenasata lanu, you should bless your nation Israel and the land that you've given us, as you promised to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. One reads the pasuk at first glance, and you interpret it as simply an expression of a wish, a petition, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, we ask of you to reciprocate, to do your part, to bless us, to bless the land, to bless the people. And yet, if we look at Rashi and look at some other sources in Chazal, we notice something very strange. Rashi immediately quotes for us the next source, Hashkifam Mon Kachacha, Asinu Mashe Gozarta Aleinu. We have done what you have decreed that we do. We've done our part. Aseata Masha Alecha La'asos. And so you, Hashem, do what is incumbent upon you to do. We notice here almost a sense of entitlement, an expectation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we've done our part. Now you do your part. And the source of Rashi is a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni, which goes through the various psukim of Vitrei Maaser and makes this very comment. Shkifa Monkashcha Min Hashamayim, Asinu Mashe Gazarta Leinu Afata Ase Imanu Mashe Hiktachtanu. So notice already something very anomalous in Hashkifa Monkashcha, not just a wish, but an expectation, a sense of deserving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will do your part. The ball is in your court, as it were. And it goes even further. There's a Medrash Tanchuma here that seems to take Hashkifa not just as an expectation, but almost as a demand, or if I could put it, an ultimatum. The last words of the Medrash, V'lo Od, the earlier words of the Medrash we'll come back to a little bit later, the Medrash concludes by saying, furthermore, Shehaya Omer, this Jewish farmer, when he says Hashkifa Mon Kachacha, he would say, in effect, Eini Zaz Mikan, I'm not budging from here until you do what I ask today. I'm not moving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You must do this. And how does the Medrash get this? Because the very next words that follow in the Pasuk afterwards, Shekasuv Acharav, Hayom Hazeh Hashem Elkecha Mitzavacha La'asos. So the Medrash takes the juxtaposition of Hashkifa Mon Kachacha with Hayom Hazeh, as if to say, the farmer is saying, now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless us now, and I'm not moving until you do so. This language with the Medrash is striking, and it's reminiscent of a Gemara in Tainus, interesting Gemara about a Tana named Choni HaMa'agel. Choni HaMa'agel had an interesting name. Ma'agel, Rashi explains, is the one who made a circle because of this story. One of the stories the Gemara tells us, at a time when there was no rain, people were desperate, and they came to Choni HaMa'agel, and they asked him to pray that it should rain. So if you pick up here in the second line, what did Choni do? Og uga va'amad b'tocha. He made a circle around himself, and he stood inside, and he said, Ribono Shalom, banecha samu ben peneim alai shaniki ben b'yishe banecha. Your children have turned to me, I'm like one of the people in the inner circle in the house. And therefore I tell you, Hashem, nishba ani b'shimcha ha-gadol, I swear by your great name, she'eni zaz mikan, ad she'terachem al banecha. I, notice the expression here, eini zaz mikan. I'm not moving, I'm not budging, I'm staying in this circle until you have mercy. And so the Gemara goes on to tell us how the rain began to drip. It wasn't quite enough, so Choni persisted. He said, Lo kach sha'alti. I didn't ask for this kind of drizzle, I want rain. Ela gishme boros shichin u'ma'aros. I want the kind of rain that will fill all of the reservoirs. Hischil er bizach. So he had a Onesto, Hurricane Onesto, right? It became torrential pouring downpours. Not exactly the kind of rain that you want. And so Choni again modified. He said, no, lo kach sha'alti, ela gishmei ratzon ubracha unedava. I want rain of blessing. I want appropriate moderation. I want rain in moderation. Yardu kitiknan. In any case, go down a couple of lines. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shatach. A contemporary of Choni was Shimon ben Shatach. Even though it was a happy ending to the story, Shimon ben Shatach wasn't so happy with the way Choni carried himself. And he said, Umali Choniata, if not for the fact that you are Choni and you have a special status in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gozrani Alecha Nidui, I would put you in Nidui, I'd put you in Cherem. Abu Ma'esalach, what can I do for you? You have this way about you, Shatam Ischate, Lefnei Amakom. You do your thing, you know, you do things which may be a little bit off the beaten track, maybe like a spoiled child. Sometimes you have a child that kind of goes over the edge, and yet the father has a sense of indulging that child and gives him what he wants, even though it's not the way that he should have acted. Very powerful Gemara, but I think after everything is said and done, an example like this is certainly the exception rather than the norm. We do find certain Gemaros and Brachos in the fifth Perek that attribute this kind of approach of Choni Amagel to Moshe Rabbeinu when he defends Klal Yisrael in the wake of Chet HaEgel, Chana, when she prays to Hashem. We have echoes of this in the Gemara, in other places. And again, but the question begs itself, what is it about these cases that justifies it? And certainly what would justify an average farmer, a Pashto Yid, you know, 2 years out of seven, comes to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and makes a demand of him, and makes an ultimatum, Eini Zaz Mikan, right? A Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what you must do. By what right can he make such a demand on a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And this is something expected of every Jew. Hashkifa Mon Kadshecha. It's a puzzle, a real enigma. So let's perhaps begin by thinking about the word itself, Hashkifa. It's a very striking word. It's a word that Chazal tell us is not used normally in association with bracha. To the contrary, Hashkifa has a negative connotation. For example, in Parshas Vayera, just before the city of Sodom, the cities of Sodom are destroyed, the Torah tells us that the malachim, the angels that came to visit Abraham, they are leaving, and it says, Vayashkifu al pnei Sodom. They began to peer towards Sodom. And in fact, the word Hashkifa, what does it mean? It means not just to look, not just to glance, but to gaze intently, right? The word Hashkafa, right, is the idea of an outlook, but not just a casual perspective, but something very intense. So Chazal tell us that this is not a word which is used usually in a positive sense. Rashi quotes for us on that pasuk in Vayera, Kol Hashkafa Shebamikra L'ra. So now you have that associated. You usually think of Hashkafa as a nice, firm word. Maybe not so. Shkifa is a certain negative connotation, except for one example that stands out, and that is the pasuk Hashkifa M'on Kadshecha. Now, even before we see what it is that Hashkifa M'on Kadshecha that makes it different, what are Chazal really telling us? Why is the word Hashkifa associated with klala, with negative consequences? And it really goes to the heart of what we're saying. When we ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu for bracha, so we don't want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to look too closely, because the closer that he looks, the more that he might see what we would not like him to see. The more that something is subjected to scrutiny, the more that it won't stand up to the test, to the rigorous test of the highest standards. Right? We don't want to be exposed too much. We don't want to make ourselves vulnerable. And this is how we can understand why Hashkifa is not really a good word. Right? When we have a census taken of a population, there's a risk always of a negative, of a plague, right? Why? Because every time you break down a population of the Jewish people and you subject each one to the individual scrutiny, there's a risk. Because everyone as an individual has their good points and their bad points. Who's perfect after all? As a group, we can stand on each other's shoulders, we can stand on the power of the tzibur, but as individuals, we don't want to stand out. Hashkifa is not a good word. But somehow, Hashkifa M'on Kadshecha is different. Here, we can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, we deserve it. You can look, and you can gaze, and you can stare, and we tell you that you can bless us. That must be the power of Hashkifa M'on Kadshecha. We can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look as carefully as he so desires, and we're sure that we'll get what we're asking for. What do Chazal tell us about Hashkifa? There's a power in this tefillah to transform what would otherwise be Midas Hadin into Midas Harachamim. Midas Hadin means, do you deserve it? Do you not deserve it? Midas Rachamim says, you're getting it. I'm not looking, it's not as important. If you deserve it, you do deserve it. Let's take a look at the next Medrash, source number 7. The Pasuk says, L'cha Hashem atzdaka v'lanu boses haponim. Hashem, you are always right, and we are ashamed of ourselves. Rav Nechemya commented, even when we do something which is good, a few b'shoah shanu osim es atzdaka, we're doing mitzvos, we're proud of ourselves, yet mabitim anu b'masim shelanu. We look at our deeds and we see that they're not always up to par. In fact, the Mesilas Yesharim makes an interesting comment about how Chazal tells us when someone is doing introspection, there are two things the Gemara tells us one can do. Yimashmesh b'masav and yifashmesh b'maisav. Mesilas Yesharim says, what's the difference between the two expressions? One is look at what you did wrong. That's one expression. But the other expression is, even when you did something right, look at that. And see if you did it with the right motives, with the right heart, with the right zest, and so on. There's always more that you can do to improve yourself. So this is what the Medrash tells us here. Even when we do tzedakah, mabitim anu masim shelanu, we look at ourselves and we're ashamed of ourselves. Ein lanu shah she'anu boyin bizroa. There's no time that we can go. Bizroa means with a sense of leverage, with a sense of power, with a sense of confidence, to demand, to expect that we've done it, we deserve it, we've done it right, except for this parsha, Hashkifa munkachacha vidui maiser, ella bishah she'anu motziyim asrosein. When we get rid of our maiser, we can come, as it were, bizroa. We can come and take forcefully, if you will, that which is coming to us. And quoting the pasuk, Shisachal Agasir, Maksiv Basof, and what does it say after that? Hashkifa munkachacha min hashamayim. Rav Alexandri continued in the same vein, Gado kochan shemotziei maisros. Great is the power of those who get rid of their maiser in accordance with what the Torah tells us. Shehin hofchin es haklal alivracha. They transform that which would otherwise be a curse into blessing. And he goes on to tell us how the word hashkifa is usually used in the context of klala, lashon tsar, examples given, vayashkef hashem umachin in mitzrayim, vayashkef Avishkipo Pnei Sedom, except for this example of Motzei Maestros, Hofchin Dvar Aruro Livracha. So here we have something of an answer to the question. Hashkifa is an exception. It transforms Midas Hadin to Midas Harachamin because of the merit of, as the Medrash tells us, Motzei Maestros, those who are complying with the mitzvah of Maeser. Somehow the mitzvah of Maeser is different. Why is the mitzvah of Maaser different than other mitzvahs in the Torah? The Gemara in Tainus Daf Tes, source number 8. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Ve'ei, Aser to Aser, you shall surely tithe. Give out the tithe. They are talking about Maaser Sheni, by extension, other mitzvahs as well. Why the double expression, Aser to Aser? The Gemara tells us a story. Rav Yochanan met the child of Reish Lakish, and he told him, he asked him, tell me what you learned today in school, in Cheder, Emali Tzukecha, Amalei Aser Ta'aser. That's what we learned. So the child came back to Rabbi Yochanan with a question, I want to know more about this pasuk. Amalei, Umay Aser Ta'aser. What does it mean exactly? Double expression, Aser Ta'aser. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Aser Bishvil Shetis Asher. If you give Maaser, you will get wealthy. So we take the sin, the dot on the left side, and we move it to the right side, and we read it as aser and tis asher. Amalei menalacha, menalach. How do you know this? The child said, how can you be so sure? Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said, zil nasi. Go out and try it. Give maaser with a specific condition, with a specific expectation, and see if it in fact will happen. Amalei, the child knew a pasuk in Parshas Veschanan as well. I guess that's before Parshas Ve'ei, so he remembered his shiurim from a few weeks before. He said, "Umishari l'nasuyi l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Is it really permitted to test Hashem to do a mitzvah with a condition in mind? Why am I doing this in order to see what will be? I want to get rewarded. But it says in the pasuk in Veschanan, Lo shenasu es Hashem, kashem nisisim b'masa, do not test Hashem. You can't do such a thing. Just as the Jews did in Masa when they demanded water, there's a sense of demanding a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do something for you. You can't do that with mitzvahs. You can't do a mitzvah because you expect Hashem to reward you. How can you give Masa with the expectation that you'll get wealthy? Amar Le, Rabbi Yochanan responded, Hachi Yom Rabo Shia Chutz Mizu. There is an exception to this prohibition. There is a mitzvah where one can do it specifically on the condition that he be rewarded. And this is based on a pasuk in Malachi, where the pasuk says, and the Navi tells us, Havu es ko amasro beis ha'otzar, v'hi teref b'veis, it's one of the haftorahs, Shabbos Haggadah, I believe, bring all the ma'aser into the treasure houses, and ubechanuni na bezos, amar Hashem tzvakos. You can test me, Hashem said. You have permission to test me. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour down bracha, right, tremendous bracha to you. You can do that. You can test me. And so one can certainly understand now, based on this Gemara, a little bit about what makes Hashkifa and On Katshecha and Hashemayim different. What the Medrash is telling us, there's a power to those who give Maaser. There's a power because when it comes to Maaser, one has, if you were a guarantee, Hashem says, you can test me, I'm going to give you bracha. And this is how the Malbim explains that which we find, the anomaly of Hashkif Mon Katshecha, in the next source. The Malbim directly makes the connection with the Gemara that we just noted. The Malbim notes that Hashkifa is not really written as a tchina, as a supplication, as we find usually with Tfilos in Tanakh, which is Ritzui, which is begging Hashem. Rather, it says, Chazal tell us, Asinu Ma Shegazarta Leinu, you should do what you promised us. Shehu Ba Kitoveya Ameis Hashem. You are coming with a claim on Hashem. The language of the Medrash before. We come Bizroa, we come forcefully. Why is it? Because of the Pasuk in Malachi, based on the Gemara that we just saw in Tainus Daf Tes. And that, therefore, the secret of Hashkifa is the secret of Maisa. That is, I think, one very interesting approach to understand what's happening here. But there may be another approach, because if we look at other sources in Chazal, who also illustrate the uniqueness of Hashkifa as an example of something which transforms klala into bracha, they don't highlight Maaser as much as just the general idea of a mitzvah. Take a look at the next source, number 10. Rav Huna Bar Acha said, in the name of Alexandra, a different version than what we saw in the earlier Medrash. Ba'u re'ei kama gadol kochan shel osei mitzvah. Sheko hashkifa shebetorah arura v'zeh b'lashon bracha. Notice the difference. The language we had earlier was the koach of who? The Motzi'i Maisos. And that works very well in light of the Gemara in Tainus Daf Tes. Here, the language used is the power of Osei Mitzvah. Those who perform mitzvos have a power to transform Kralla into Bracha. Similarly, Source 11, the Tosefta Naisa Sheni. Koha Oskin bin Mitzvos. All those who are involved in mitzvos, Pihem Pasuach Bitfil of Ne'amakom, their mouth is wide open in prayer. That which you decree will happen, will come to pass. This is a pasuk, by the way, used in the Gemara and Tainus with regard to Choni HaMa'agel as well. The idea that we use the idea of Tzadik goes there, Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayem. So here it's not even Tzadik goes there, but someone does a mitzvah. Piyam Pasuach of Ne'amakom. Your mouth is wide open, you have an opening. There's leverage that's created just by virtue of the fact that you performed a mitzvah. And then he goes on to quote, you see the pasuk, Hashkifa Ma'on Katshecha. What does this seem to say? We'll have to qualify this, I think, but just on a very basic level, there's an incredible concept that seems to emerge here. In other words, a person does a mitzvah. There's a power that comes from that. That power that comes, that merit that's accrued from the mitzvah, gives the person a certain leverage to ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu in a way that would otherwise not be the protocol. to almost demand, if you will, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu something in return. Now, think about this. Is this a violation of Lo Sinasu Es Hashem? After all, you're not allowed to perform the mitzvah conditionally. That was the point of the Gemara Tainus. Maaser is the exception. So what makes this different than the violation of Lo Sinasu Es Hashem? Think of something very basic. Lo Sinasu Es Hashem is a person who, a priori, does the mitzvah only because of that expectation. The mitzvah is being performed conditionally. One cannot do such a thing unless the mitzvah is maisa. Maisa, you can do it with that particular condition, with that expectation. We're not talking about a person who does the mitzvah because of an expectation of getting this or that. The person does the mitzvah because he does the mitzvah. He wants to fulfill Hashem's will. After the fact, post facto, you've done the mitzvah, there's something there to cash in on. The mitzvah has been done. P'en pasuach of ne'amokam. You have a power, you have a leverage now to come with the merit of that mitzvah to almost make a demand of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that is, seems to be the sense of these midrashim. The power of osei mitzvah, not just maaser, but mitzvah in general. And the more that I thought about this, the more that I noticed there are incredible ramifications for this. We have a Gemara in Sota, source number 12, which is in fact what we have done today. If you open up any siddur, when you have Birchas Kohanim, there is a tefillah that is recited by the Kohanim right after they fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. I'm a Kohen, so I have the luxury of being familiar with this, but those who are not Kohanim probably know what I'm referring to. The tefillah is based on this Gemara. Ribbono shel Olam, asinu ma shegazarta aleinu, asei at imanu ma shehivtachtanu. We've done what you've decreed upon us to do. We've blessed the Jewish people. We've blessed the congregation. You also do what you have promised us. And we quote thereafter the pasuk, Hashkifa mon pachacham en Hashemayim. This language is straight out of the Mishnah Maisasheni, straight out of the Rashi and Chumash. The same expression. We've done what you've decreed. You two reciprocate. Hashkifa mon pachacham. This is not Maiser. This is a mitzvah that has just been performed of Birchas Kohanim. And we, the Kohanim, come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the same kind of expectation. We've done our part. We've done the mitzvah. You, Hashem, reciprocate. And apparently, there is something to it. Not just Maiser. After the mitzvah has been performed, there's a basis to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, now, Hashem, you do your part as well. And it goes further. We're all familiar with a bracha that we make at the time of Bris Milah. It's a Gemara in Shabbos. The bracha begins, Ashakida Shadid Mi Beten, Chok Bishero Son, and so on. We talk about the mitzvah, the special schus of the mitzvah of Milah, and then we ask our Kaddish Baruch Hu, in the merit of the mitzvah of Milah, of Bris Milah, Bishchar Zos Kel Chai Chalkenu, Shavei, there is a question how to punctuate this word. That is how most people do it. Tzavei, lahatzil yididus sheireinu mishachas, l'man briso es yasam divsareinu, and we conclude, Baruch Hat Hashem koreis habris. The other version is not tzavei lahatzil, but rather tziva lahatzil, in past tense. Either way, we're speaking about a special concept known as the schus of milah is going to save a person from having to endure the intense suffering of the Gehenna. You're midrashim to this effect. Avraham Avinu is saving every Jewish child that has a bris milah from having to undergo the suffering of the Gehenna. So that's what we say, lahatzil yedidus sheireinu mishachas. Shachas is a reference to the Gehenna. But either it's tshiva, you have already instructed such, or, as the shach prefers, that which is more common, tzave. Now tzave is a very striking expression. That means we are sent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bishchar Zos, in the merit of the mitzvah, Tzavei, we are talking to Hashem and instructing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are in a position to instruct HaKadosh Baruch Hu to follow our instructions. Why Bishchar Zos? In the merit of the mitzvah that we just performed. It's, I think, a very powerful illustration of the same concept. The mitzvah has been done already. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, in accordance with the mitzvah that has been done, to follow through, to follow suit, to reciprocate. And then it gets even more interesting. Bris Milah happens not every day. At least we don't go to Bris Milah every day, but we do go to Shul on Shabbos. And on Shabbos, we have a minhag that goes back to the Middle Ages. After a person gets an aliyah, we make what's called a mishaberach. Sometimes it makes the services a lot longer, and people grumble, but so is the minhag of Klal Yisrael for centuries, to make a mishaberach after someone gets an aliyah. So, there have been voices of dissension, among them Rav Henkin and the Rav of Soloveitchik. The whole idea of mishaberach is really appropriate. So I have two sources here that voice that dissension to mishaberach. One is Rav Henkin in Eidus Yisrael, where parenthetically says that which we have accustomed those who get an aliyah, the minhag originally of mishaberach, says Rav Henkin, was that somebody would pledge money to tzedakah. And the nusach of mishaberach, in the second line here, source 14, bavo sheploni ben ploni, so-and-so no dev tztaka l'chvod ha-Torah, l'chvod ha-Shabbos. So in the merit of the tztaka, so we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should get whatever. And that's based on a gemara psachim, someone who says, I'm giving tztaka for the sake of some good result, my child should get well. That's okay, because that's the gemara that tells us that when it comes to giving nicer, and perhaps this can be extended to tzedakah as well. The Torah holds that way, that the special dispensation of B'chanunah B'zos applies also to Maaseh. That's okay. But what's our custom? Avo Atta, Nogin L'varech B'mishaberach, B'avor Sh'Allah L'Torah. Oh, he got an aliyah. So what? Therefore, he got an aliyah. Very nice. Yeshikayach, he got an aliyah. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu give him this and that and the other thing, B'shmeri HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. Says, B'zayin HaTorah, says Rav Henkin. You have to give the ole a bracha, ba'ad ha-chesed ha-gadol sh'asa ba'aliyah. So you give stock, that's one thing. But you got an aliyah, so because of that, you give him all these brachos. And he says further, this is not as common today, but years ago, and I remember when I had my shul in Bayon, going back some 8-9 years ago, this was not uncommon for the gabbai to say, after the aliyah, let's say the person was not known to give stucca. So they would say after the aliyah, or after that, Bavor, Sheploni, Benploni, Mevarach Osam, or Tziva Levarcham. Tziva Levarcham. He instructed to bless. So you have a whole list of names. Why should Hashem, why should you bless them? Because so and so, Tziva Levarcham. I'm thinking, addresses this as well. What kind of a chutzpah is this? Shedor Shebracha, Bavor, She, Eze Hedyot, Mevarach. Give a bracha to who longest of people because so-and-so, tziva levarcha. Even the Kohen and so on. You get the gist of Rav Henkin. And he ends, and I'm not saying that this, you know, again, we're going to justify the minhag, but Rav Henkin has a point here, especially the last line he says, recognizes, says, were it not for all these long mishaberachs, then the Kriya Sator would be smoother, and then lo ha'isa ha'kriya nireis kitfeila chas v'shalom la mishaberach. The Dai Lamevin, that's the last abbreviation. I don't need to elaborate. All right. Just parenthetically, in Silver Spring, the Yeshiva Gedola makes no Mishaberachs on Shabbos either, after the Aliyah. During the week, each Oleg gets his bracha, makes his second bracha, Yamod, next person comes right up and makes his bracha. There's no Mishaberachs at all. I don't know how many places you have this, but that particular yeshiva in Silverstein, there's no mishaberach at all. It just goes. In any case, Rav Henkin's point is, what's the idea of making mishaberach for someone because he got an aliyah? Rav Shechter in Nefesh HaRav quotes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik a similar concern. First, his issue has to do with the mishaberach for cholin, when we say, instead of bavor sheh, the relative or whoever gives tzedaka, the minhag is to say bavor sheh ko ha-kol mispalim bavuro. Right? We are all davening for that person. So the Rav felt that's not appropriate because there's something called iyun tefillah. You're not supposed to expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer your prayers. How can you assume Hashem will answer because everyone is praying? I didn't understand this question so much because I think there's a difference between an individual who's praying and a tzibur. When it comes to a tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's a swiss at tzibur, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah will not go empty-handed. So maybe there's a difference between Ploni, then Ploni, Mispal Bavuro, or the Tzibur. But then after this, he brings further, Pam is an interesting story. Once Rav Salvechik was davening in yeshiva on a Thursday in a minyan that he was not used to coming to daven at. And the gabbai gave Rav Salvechik an honor of an aliyah. And the gabbai was so excited that Rav Salvechik was there, that right after the aliyah on a Thursday, which is not usually when you have mishaberachs, he made a mishaberach for him, even though it was a weekday. But derech klal, there's no mishaberach recited, obviously, during the week, because of tircha d'tzibura. Rav Salvechik got very annoyed. And when he was going to say b'vosh olach l'Torah, he stopped him and said ba'avur shenodar kach v'kach dar li yeshiva. He inserted, because I'm pledging such and such to a yeshiva. And the gabbai didn't realize that there was something that he was bothered by saying b'vosh olach l'Torah. So because of his excitement, he said a second mishaberach for eshes rabbeinu su. So again, he got to the point he was going to say ba'avur, and he stuck in Rav Salvechik said olach. Another kach v'kach, another neder. So again, he didn't get it, the gabbai. And again, a third time for the Ramei HaYeshiva, the Talmidei HaYeshiva, and again, Rav Salvechik said, Babur Shanadar, so he ended up pledging three times to Yeshiva. Not a bad idea. Anyway.
He knew what he was doing.
The problem Rav Shechter has in the name of Salvechik in the parentheses was, why didn't Rav Salvechik want the nusach of Bavor Sha'ola Latorah, Sha'av Zeb Bevchinas Lo Sinasi Hashem. That comes under the heading of testing God. L'tvoa bracha Bavor Kiyum Mitzvos. To demand a bracha because of fulfillment of mitzvos. The Rach B'Maiser Mutar L'Nasos. It's permitted when it comes to Maiser, as the Gemara says in Tanya. What would the answer be in light of what we saw in the other midrashim? It's not Lo Sinasi Hashem. Because you did the mitzvah already. You can't do the mitzvah to begin with an expectation of this or that. But you've done the mitzvah. Now you're cashing in on the schus of the mitzvah. And if you do that, it's a different story. Pihem pasuach lefnei hamakom. You can make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can make expectations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the fact. In fact, the language of Mishaberach is parallel to that of Bris Mila, that lashon that we saw in Bris Mila, Bishchar Zos. Maybe this is where the language emerged from Mishaberach. Bishchar zeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishmereu, V'yatzileu. You did an incredible thing. You did a mitzvah of an aliyah. Bishchar zeh, in the merit of the mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give you all the wonderful blessings. Just as we find in Bris Mila as well. It's not Lo Sinasi Hashem. You've done the mitzvah already. Now you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bracha. Hashkifa Monkajcha Men Hashemayim. Now, if we stop right here, I think people would walk out with maybe a radical conclusion that, you know, basically anyone does any mitzvah, so there we go. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give us this and that and demand, and we all become a baby Yitzchak, so, you know, overnight. I would like to perhaps suggest a number of qualifications. Having said all this, clearly the sense of the Medrash is that there is, at least in theory, this power. And we saw it in Bris Mila, we saw it in Mishaberach, to make a demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and certainly an expectation, after the fact that one does mitzvot in general. But maybe there are certain things to keep in mind when we think about this. First, before we even continue with the next source, there's a common denominator, not to Mishaberach, but to Bris Mila and to Birchas Kohanim. Those are the two examples that we saw that are not meiser, but their mitzvahs have been performed already, and then you ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to give you something in return. That which we ask of Kadosh Baruch Hu, is it something new, or is it something that Hashem has already guaranteed and promised? When it comes to meiser, Hashem says, I'm going to give you bracha. So we come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we did a mitzvah, give us that which you promised us. Kemo shehivtachtanu, you've already assured us. When it comes to Bris Mila, when it comes to Birchas Kohanim, what are we asking for? Kadosh Baruch Hu says that if the Kohanim bless the congregation, the Samu es Sheni Abnei Yisrael va'ani avarachem. What is va'ani avarachem? Right? I will bless them. Hashem says, you do your part of Kohanim, I will bless. So the Kohanim are not asking for something new. They're saying, we've done our part, you do your part as you promised. So then they can be very forceful and demand Hashem do that which he promised.
And so it is with Tzavei Lahatzel Yedidus Shereinu Mishachas. Hashem has guaranteed that a Rachanimo will be saved from Gehenna. So now we did the mitzvah. Hashem, we ask of you, we instruct you, in fact, to keep that promise. That doesn't hold true necessarily from Mishadera. We're asking for whatever. Who says it's a guarantee? So that already gives us room to distinguish. Even if we accept the other midrashim that you can demand based on a mitzvah, maybe it's only a demand that is one that relates to a guarantee that has already been offered by Hashem. A second thought, Rabbeinu Bechaya on the pasuk in Hashkifa Mokachecha, in quoting this unique power of Hashkifa, makes an interesting, adds another caveat here. Mashi hiskir lashon Hashkifa ve'eino nizkar la'olam b'shum makom el b'peranus. Usually Hashkifa is associated with negative consequences, suffering, lahoros, kama gadol shchar ha-mitzvos kishehi b'simcha. There's an interesting caveat. Not just mitzvos, but mitzvos that are performed with a sense of joy, with simcha. Where does this come from? Where does he get this? If you look back at the Mishnah in Maaseh Sheni on the Darshan Hashkifa Mon Katshecha, that's source number 3, the Mishnah Perakei, just before Hashkifa, we have the words in the Torah, Asinu, Asisi Kecho Asher Tzivi Sani. And on that, the Mishnah comments, and it's based on the Sifrei on this pasuk, Samachti v'simachti bo. I have rejoiced and I have caused others to rejoice with Maaser. Because Maaser is a mitzvah to perform the simcha, and maybe that's where Rabbeinu Bechaya is coming from. That is, a mitzvah, the simcha, has a special merit, a special power. We go back to Bris Milah as well. Gemara tells us in Shabbos, beginning of the Lezer de Mila, that all mitzvahs HaKa Yisrael did b'simcha, they're still doing b'simcha, Shas Anochi Alem Rasecha, Kimotzei Shal Rav. Bris Mila is a mitzvah that one is only performed b'simcha. The mitzvah b'simcha has a special status before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Based on such a mitzvah, one can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, transform me to Sarachanim, And so it is Birchas Kohanim. Birchas Kohanim has to be performed. You say the bracha, Shekit Shana, B'Kishasu Shalem, B'Tzivanu, Baruch Hashem Yisrael, B'Ava, Ava, Simcha. These are synonymous ideas, a sense of love, a sense of enthusiasm. This is where one can come with this kind of request, more than a request, almost a demand of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, a second qualification. Two more. The Rav and Alat Shuva. Now we're getting more to Inyana Diyoma, in terms of the Tfilos of Yom Noraim. We know that in the course of Yom Kippur, there are two viduyim, two different expressions of vidui. One, as individuals, in our private Salon Shmon Esrei, and the second, during the repetition of the Shviyat Tzibur, where we say Hashamnu together. There's quite a striking difference between the way that we say vidui as individuals, and when we do it together. The Rav and Alatshuva and the Tshuva drashos developed this in a beautiful way. One of the drashos centers around the difference between the Yachid and the Tzibur. And in this context, the Rav noted how when it comes to the individual, one can't say that you have a guarantee. Who knows? We come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rosh Hashanah as individuals, right? We're worried. We're anxious. We don't know what the future holds for us. When it comes to the Tzibur, there's a covenant. The collective Knesset Yisrael has a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that things will be good. Based on this confidence, we can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a tzibur in a different way than we would as individuals. Let's just take a look at a couple of lines here in the language here of Alat Shuva. Zehu ha-hevdo ha-atzum bein vidui ha-yachid lebein vidui ha-yachid lebein vidui ha-tzibur. Kach misvade is Knesset Yisrael, v'kach misvade hayachid. Hayachid misvade mitoch matzav shel choser bitachon, lack of security, shel dikaon, v'yiyush, feeling despair, depressed. After having sinned, one feels a sense of being crushed. V'chi eza arevus yeshelo shil chupar lo. What kind of guarantee do you have that you'll be forgiven? Umi yomer lo shavano yimacher, v'lo yedof acharav atzof ko hayomim. Who's to say that the sin won't pursue you to the end of days? Lo kein, viduya shel Knesset Yisrael, the kol tzibur v'tzibur mi Yisrael, hi miniature shel Knesset Yisrael kula. That's a mini Knesset Yisrael. Vidui zeh nemar mitoch bitachon, v'afil mitoch simcha. And this is why, explains the Rav, when I was in Germany, I heard the Al-Chet that was sung, literally sung, by the entire Tzibur with a joyful melody. The Yachid does not sing Al-Chet. The Yachid cries Al-Chet. Not so the Tzibur. The Tzibur doesn't come, here's the key, Levakesh Kapar. The Tzibur doesn't ask for forgiveness. HaTzibur Toveya Kapar. When the farmer says, Hashkifa Mimon Katshecha Min HaShemayim Breches Amcha Yisrael, he's not asking individual requests. He's asking, or more than asking, he's demanding for the Tzibur, Amcha Es Yisrael. That's different. So maybe when you have a mitzvah performed and you're asking for the collective, you can actually be Toveya from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The schus of the mitzvah give Klal Yisrael what it is. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak was not asking for individuals. Levi Yitzchak would always be the Meramei schus for Klal Yisrael. He would use the examples of the individuals and say, look, Kaddish Baruch Hu, look at your people. Look at our beautiful people. You have to give them a good year. You have to give them bracha and so on. This is a whole different level. It's not just a personal. It's Kaddish Baruch Hu, do it for Klal Yisrael. And in a similar vein, the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in his classic Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, discusses the uniqueness of the Tfilos of Yom Noroim, Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and how so much of the Tfilos reflect a theme of Kvod Shamayim, beginning to end. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tein Pachdecha Hashem al Kol Ma'asecha, Tein Kavod Hashem Lamecha, Meloch HaKolam Kol Bechodecha, all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your reputation is at stake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, think about yourself and the Chil Hashem. And this is the essence of the tefillah. And even though regular tefillah, rest of the year, sounds at face value like we're asking about very simple personal needs, we're petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us this and that, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, a very interesting idea. Really, recognize that Anshei Knesset Hagdola, who were misaking these words, were not just thinking about the individual needs, just on a very basic, down-to-earth, simple level. Rather, it has to do with the idea of a tamid, a carbon tamid is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. There's no part that's eaten by the owner. Right? It's a carbon tzibur, which is kul kolil. And if the tefilos are connected to me, then that means that even on the level of tefillah of an individual, there's an aspect of carbon tamid. In what sense? In the sense, as he says here, the last paragraph, Tiachlis HaKavana, the ultimate level of a person who's davening and really, really gets into the essence of what really is going on. Tiat Tzorech Gavoa. Ki b'makom sheish chilu shmo yizbarach. When there's chilu Hashem, Tzoras Klal Yisrael, be'amor am Hashem eile, be'hem mukim u'mu'unim, and Klal Yisrael is suffering, מחויבים לבקש ולשפוך שיח לפניו יסברך שמו על חילו שמו. On Hashem's desecration of Kaviyachol Kadosh Baruch Hu's reputation and honor. And therefore, even when this individual tefillah can be elevated, if it's thought of as, it's not just a Kadosh Baruch Hu for me that I'm asking, it's for you. We say, Zachreinu l'chayim, melchavitz b'chayim, l'chashvim sevachayim l'mancha. What do I need help for? Not because I need to be healthy in order to do what I want to do. I ask for this because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to do your bidding, I want to do your will, and this is really in your interest that you should give me this. And so the ultimate tefillah is one in which we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do it for your own sake. If a person comes after the mitzvah is performed and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give me this, that, as an individual, maybe it's okay, but the ultimate way that one could demand such a thing would be, Kadosh Baruch Hu, give it to me because I'm a partner with you, and I want this for you, and I'm concerned about your reputation. And just to conclude on this, in this note, the Netziv, this is a little bit hard to read inside, but the gist of it, the Netziv in Pasuk Hashkifa Mon Katshecha, the bottom commentary, Harchev Davar, develops the idea, if you go down about 7-8 lines, he's explaining a Pasuk in Tehillim, where it says, Tana el tefilas ha'aror velo baza es tefilasam. He turned to the tefilah of the broken one, but he didn't reject their prayers. So we have an interesting shift in the pasuk from the individual to the collective. So the Netziv explains that this pasuk is referring to the tefilos of Rosh Hashanah, and he says, in the end of days, David HaMelech envisions that the Klal Yisrael will come on Rosh Hashanah, it's about 7-8 lines down, and to daven on, for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bringing the Mashiach, bringing the Geula, that he will rule over the world. And this tefillah that we all say in Rosh Hashanah, the words are the same for everybody, but not everyone has the same kavanah as everybody else. It's not the same. Yesh oev Hashem b'chol libo. There are individuals who love Hashem from all their heart in the Sefalel. Al kvodo yisbarach. She is gadel. He asks that Kadosh Baruch Hu's honor should be elevated. V'yesh mispal al zeh. In the last source, number 19. On the last page. V'yesh mispal al zeh. So other people have more of a nationalistic perspective. We want the Jewish people returning to their land to have a sense of independence and true independence and not have to worry about international opinion, right? That's another aspect of Kavanah and Tefillah. That's why we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us the honor that we deserve. At the time of Mila. Someone doesn't have such a big vision. Other people just don't have any real sense of kavana. It's just mitzvahs anashim melumada. They mouth the words and they say it. They do their duty and they daven. So on this, the pasuk tells us if you have a tzibur that davens together, and you have at least one individual in that congregation who's a real arar, he's broken. That individual is able to be ma'orer rachmei shemayim. He's davening from the depth of his heart on kvod shemayim, the ultimate level of tefillah, as Chaim Volozhiner pointed out, going in that path is kvod shemayim. And therefore, if you have that individual who prays from that perspective, lo baza es tefilosam, Hashem will not reject the tefilos of everybody together, even though for them, maybe they're davening bishvil tovas atzman, for their own individual benefit, it's just simply mouthing the words. So if we can just strive to be that one aror, we might not just be helping ourselves and our prayers to be accepted, but we have the impact that can come from that on the entire congregation, even if everyone else might not be having that kind of kavana. But there is that power that Kadosh Baruch Hu will therefore accept the tefillos of everybody. So again, in short, when we perform mitzvot, maybe another way to think about the power that comes from that and the power, the merit that can accrue, the ramifications are certainly profound. Have a good day.